Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Friday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Conan, Dennis Dick with you this morning. We got some news. Boeing's 737 MAX is finally declared safe by European regulators. So we'll talk about the implications of that this morning. A couple of COVID headlines. Drug makers going in opposite directions. Good news for Pfizer. Bad news for Gilead. Talk about that as well. HPE came out with some guidance yesterday. We have some earnings as well. JB Hunt, VF Corp, Schlumberger. Our guest is Jason Raznick. He will join us at 8:45. A lot to get to. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Joel, what's going on here in the overnight trading session?
Good morning, traders. And Spencer, Dennis here. Welcome to the Friday show. It's kind of, we're gonna need some help from the chat today, folks, because we only got a 20-point range. Not too bad. I know Triple D's out there slinging some shares. But we had a little dip overnight, not low enough to get me low in the market. 70 and a quarter is your pre-market low. Went up to 91 and a quarter. Just a couple lows there from earlier in the week. Not a great number to lean on. And now we're just kind of hanging out just above mid-range. So going to need a catalyst today. Maybe that 10 o'clock Michigan consumer sentiment number will get us going. But we will see. Crude just hanging out now over $40, trading down 15 cents at 40.81. Gold in the green by 6.20 at 19.15.10. Silver in the green as well by 33 cents at 24.555. And Bitcoin, it's down $200 at 11,395. Triple D, kind of quiet out there. And I don't know, indecision here. Is the market going to finally just calm down and just get ready for the election? Or are we going to have some fireworks today?
I think you saw the fireworks yesterday. Had the big dip in the morning, and they bought the dip once again, and they come back. And so the buy the dip wins, and now you just have, like, the day after the big buy the dip winning, and they're trying to figure out if they want to continue the party here or if they want to pause for a second. But, again, we've been talking about buy the dip, sell the rip. That's going to be the trade all the way going into the election. What are we, 4 weeks out here now? What are we? Are we 4 weeks out?
3 weeks.
October 16th, 3.5 weeks out? Somewhere in there. So you got buy the dip and sell the rip still. So I think you're fading. I think if you're chasing stuff, you're on the wrong side of the trade. I think if you're fading stuff, you're on the right side of the trade. So I'm going to keep fading. You ain't fading, you ain't trading. Remember what they say? Is that the old saying?
Yeah, that's what we've heard that a few times before. I just noticed, and I looked at this, I'm like, hey, you know, I remember, where are we at from last week? And last Friday's close, we're right in that area. Last Friday's close was, I believe, 70, right in here. 73 and a quarter here. We're at 81.50. So really, it is an indecisive week for the market. We'll see if we can get back over 3,400 or just have a nice quiet range here on this Friday. We started out with some earnings earlier in the week. We have a few today. Want to get those out of the way?
Let's start with Boeing.
It's a good call. Boeing.
Let's just start with Boeing.
That's the story of the day.
Yeah, so the Europe's top aviation regulator says the Boeing 737 MAX is safe to fly again. The question is, does the U.S. agree? And also, even if they do, how many planes do they actually sell and deliver? Just saw a headline coming through the wire that Boeing is reportedly considering selling their Seattle headquarters, just to give you an idea of the cash situation there. Or a cost-cutting situation there. But Boeing gets the catalyst, but this is, it's not out of the woods yet.
I was long and overnight, so gift for me. I sold it as soon as I woke up at 7 o'clock, right around 170, because it was like quick 6 points. I'll take it. And obviously fading is what I've been talking about. So it gives you the opinion of what I think. I think I take the money and run. Who's buying the plane? So the plane's safe to fly, but we still have a demand problem. So maybe the supply is going to be there because now they can actually sell the planes. But I want to know who's buying the plane, because all of their customers are having problems. And that's obviously all the airlines. So I just can't get that excited. Just because he can sell the plane doesn't mean anybody's going to buy it. So I'm a fader.
It did get down. I think we talked about this earlier in the week too. You had pretty good support at 160, right? And that was the bottom of the range. The gap from 155 to 160 did not get filled. So kind of near the bottom of the trading range, and now right up near the top of the trading range. Let's see if we can hold 170. We'll hold 170. It'll be an interesting area because you came off hard off that 175.56 high. So good for now, staying above 170. I wouldn't want to see it slip under 170 because just based on the dailies, not much support between 165 and 170, but just kind of range trading. Just happened to do it all today. Did you just do it just like for a hedge against something else, or did you look at the technicals, or why did you pick that up last night?
No, that's just index. That was ETF. That was okay. Index ERB. So okay. IWM, and I just get lucky. News moves in my favor, so just get lucky. Looked at, didn't even look at the chart. Had no idea what it looked like.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And picked up 6 points. Shows you don't need to know technical analysis to make money. Okay. Sorry. Not poo-pooing technical analysis. We still like charts, but you don't have to just rely on charts to make money. Okay, so Boeing, I don't know. Like we said with the earnings, the only one that's really getting whacked hard here this morning, if you want to go to an earnings disaster, it's J.B. Hunt. And JBHT is down $8 here. What, no trucking? I thought everybody was buying everything. I thought we were in a full-on expansion here. Why is the trucking company not doing well? Spencer, what happened?
Sure, I would have thought it would have done well as well.
Yeah, the market thought so too. They were ripping it higher on that before this. Again, buy before the event worked very well with JBHT, but what were the earnings?
Yeah, $1.18 per share. The estimate was all the way up at $1.27.
So they missed
that number. Sales beat, but an earnings miss in this environment, not what you want to see.
Well, it's, you know, a little bit of a joke with the environment because we know there's a lot of, you know, businesses that aren't firing on all cylinders.
No, I know.
We've seen FedEx and UPS.
But everybody expects it to be a beat. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you miss, and they usually knock you down. And that's what you're seeing here this morning, JBHT. It's a pretty big hit here. I think, you know, this will find, I don't think this is one that's going to roll over and die. I would imagine you're going to find some buy the dippers emerging, maybe even at 130. Oh, they already did.
Yeah.
At 130?
128. You see that little pesky low there at 128 where the whole rigmarole started? Yeah. That low was 127.87. And I think people stepped out a little bit ahead of that at 128. Let me see the exact low. Yeah, 128 even. You're up 5.5 points from there. So I think you're going to have to pick a different level. Actually, someone did listen to Triple D. They stepped it up in the last three brackets and seemed to have a bidder at 130. So you had to bid out on the way down. You got smashed, and now you might have to lift some offers. Long ways to go to get to the top of yesterday, or bottom of yesterday's range. I don't think we'll see that, but feeling kind of good that the low's in here in JBHT.
Let's move away from earnings because they're all boring. Let's go to Hertz. Everybody wants to talk about this one. It's the big mover of the day. It's up 56%. Give us the details here, Mr. Israel.
All right. They secured commitments for $1.65 billion of debtor in possession of financing. Let's get out your bankruptcy lawyer ads.
Yeah, we need to have a bankruptcy lawyer to interpret this. I would just say with my limited bankruptcy legal background, I see debtor in possession. Sounds to me like debt holders going to take over the company. That's usually what happens in a Chapter 11. What does that usually mean for shareholders? It usually means zero. This market, though, is stupid and it doesn't care. It just sees, oh, they got financing. Oh, I got a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance. And so they're buying the hell out of it, squeeze the shorts a little bit more. Am I the person that's going to come in and fight the tape here at $1.66 and short a stock that's $1.66 now?
No.
But am I coming in here and buying it and putting all my money in Hertz because there's a chance there might be something left for the equity holders? No. I think I see debtor in possession. That sounds to me like equity holders are going to be left holding the bag. But apparently this market doesn't care about that. They just care that they're getting some financing and they're ripping it higher. So
I think my basic understanding of this is good news for the creditors. But if you own equity, you're SOL regardless. So
I would think so. But it doesn't appear to be the case, obviously, this morning with, you know, the stock trading up 61%. And this market is obviously just – this market just doesn't understand anything. It's a market that just trades on headlines. Algos trade on headlines. They see financing. They buy it higher. I think when you dig down into this, there's not going to be much left for the debt holders. If I was in Hertz, I would sell. If I was in it long, I think it's a gift. I think the equity holders aren't going to have much when this is over, but we saw PCG, you know, and it's still got value.
Still kicking around.
So, you know, to say it's going to go to zero, bankrupt companies, even years later, sometimes bankrupt companies aren't at zero. So bankruptcy doesn't necessarily mean zero, but I don't like investing in bankrupt companies. That's just me.
All right. Here is the most vague trading advice I'll ever give on this. If you are trading this and you're long, sell it on the way up. That's all I have to say.
And we don't give advice, so we'll take that word, strike that from the record. So obviously we aren't licensed investment advisors, so we never give advice, but we give opinions.
Opinion. My opinion is if you're buying it, it's going to go and it's going to go. But when it turns, it's going to turn. So have an out. If you're buying it here at 170, have an out. I've the way this thing trades, who knows, 190, 210, 230, 250. But eventually, someone's going to come in with the hammer, right? And depending on what the news is. So that's all I can give you. If you want to get technical on it, on the daily charts, I mean, what are you going to want? Just over 180, you're coming up at a high if you want to trade technically. 189 potential target, and then another target at 193. So there you go.
Next.
Yeah, I thought we were done with Hertz for a while, but it won't.
Sick of talking about it. I wish it would delist, so I just don't have to talk about it anymore.
You know what, though? While we're at it, I don't know if it's still the case, but a couple weeks ago, the chat was asking us about Luck and Coffee, because I don't know if you had seen it, but now that it's delisted, it had this ridiculous rally trying to pull it up right now, a couple weeks ago.
I don't know how you see it, because it's delisted, so I bring up LK and I see nothing.
No, yeah. Symbol? No, but if you pull up...
Did they add like a bunch of letters to it?
Yeah, you know they did.
What are they? What are all these letters?
LKNCY.
LKNCY. Yeah. Oh, there it is. $5.
Yeah.
Wow.
Where'd it get down to?
Like two.
So it's went up a bit.
Two something?
Again, the hope trade. You know,
It was under a dollar at one point. Yeah,
He's right. Went to 95 cents in June.
And now it got to $5.
Moral of the story, don't short stocks under a buck. There's a reason, and actually Rob Friesen, we had our Bright Trading annual conference, and Rob Friesen's the person who runs Bright Trading, and he said specifically on it, he's like, we don't usually trade stocks under a buck, and we don't usually short stocks under a buck, because what's your reward? It's down to zero. But in this case, with like something like Hertz or Luck and Coffee, you get caught, you know, and even though, you know, maybe it's eventually going to go to zero, maybe it's going to go lower, there can be some vicious squeezes. I typically, as a good rule of thumb, I don't short stocks typically under a buck either, because limited, I know penny stock traders would say, what are you talking about? But I'm not a penny stock trader. I trade companies that aren't on the verge of or in bankruptcy. So I think just good rule of thumb. I'm going to write that on page 12 of my book whenever I write it, or somebody else writes it for me. Don't short stocks under a buck.
Quick tangent here. You guys are going to kill me. Robin, I see Robin Steckel in the house. Right. And
hey, Robin.
There was some dude in chat complaining about my shirt yesterday. I don't really know if he has anything.
What shirt did you have on?
I had on my Triple Crown shirt, my American Pharaoh shirt. Oh. I guess he didn't like it. So, Robin, are you around? Fan. Because I wanted to wear this shirt today, and Lisa said no, that I couldn't wear this on the show. It's my Wisconsin shirt. Robin's there. Okay. So I got this when I went out to Wisconsin. You're going to love this. Okay. Let's see if we can hold it up. I brought it down for you. You see what it says? It
says hanging out with
Bucky in Madtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You see it?
Bucky's got a showing a moon there.
Yeah, and then
Madison. Got it.
Yeah, Madison. And then this is the best part of the shirt. Okay, yeah, and when you wear it like this,
let me do this. Wait, hold on.
That looks like me when I'm fixing anything, bending over.
All right, Robin.
That's a picture of my bum. Did Robin send you that?
No. I got it. I'm 0-2 in Madison. I took Lisa and I went out once. Did I ever tell you that story? When Lisa and I went out in 94, we were at Madison. It was Halloween, and Michigan lost, and the students rushed the field, and the barrier gave way. And thousands of students went piling onto the field. No one died or anything, but there was a couple broken legs. And
Participating in that?
No, I was a little worried because I wasn't sitting with Lisa. I was sitting with my buddy Mark, and we were a different section. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't think Lisa would be in the student section, but that was 94. Then we went out there again, and we lost again. I can't remember what year that was, but I did have an entire section in Madison, Wisconsin, like ready to kill me. Michigan jumped out to a 7-0 lead. And I was like, woohoo, hooting and hollering and everything. And
he's a loud fan.
Yeah. Oh, on the road. And then our quarterback got hurt.
Joel's the loudest fan that I know.
Yeah.
Thank you. I resemble that remark. I hope I get to do it again soon.
I resemble.
All right. Moving back to the stocks here. Some drug
headlines. Sorry, folks, for that tangent. No,
That's all right. Some drug news, good and bad this morning. Pfizer's news is good. Gilead's news is not so much. So I'll read you the Gilead news first, since it came out more recently. It was a study from the WHO that I guess the FT got their hands on, the Financial Times. And the WHO said that remdesivir, there's essentially no significant effect from remdesivir on patients and with regards to preventing death. So that was the news from Gilead.
So let's start with Gilead then.
Yeah.
So what is that famous Who song? What do you got there? Teenage Wasteland?
But it's actually called Bob O'Reilly's the official name of it.
So the Who is saying that Gilead is pharmaceutical wasteland.
Yes.
I think that's what they're saying.
To an extent.
Pharmaceutical wasteland. They're not a fan. The Who is not a fan of Gilead.
I don't know.
But Joel, this stock, man, this is like... Oh, it's so hated. You think about how good for some of the pharmaceuticals, how good the performance has been in a lot of pharmaceutical companies. And this Gilead stock, I know it had a nice run back when we thought remdesivir was going to save us all from the COVID back in, you know, the March. But that was such a selling opportunity. And now you've been sitting down here at this 60 support, 61, 62 for too long. If it takes out 60, if it goes through the 60, Katie bar the door, it's going to get ugly. It's almost been down. It's support until it's broken. So if you're buying it, I'm not going to argue with you, but have your stop below 60. If this thing goes through 60, I'm shorting it. So I'm watching this now as a potential short through 60. The stock is just absolutely hated. I'm not going to strike until it actually takes out 60.
But
if it goes through 60, I'm shorting this. This is a value trap of all value traps. They've been trying to buy growth. They had, you know, remdesivir. Now the Who says remdesivir sucks. Man, Gilead just cannot catch a break. They can't catch a break.
Look at this, though, man. $60. I mean, going all the way back to, well, you did dip under 60. Oh, I mean, going back to June, this is, what do I got up here? Monthly, June and July, 2013. Wow, what an area. I mean, I feel bad because they asked me to do this as like the stock of the day, and I write it up, and I feel like I'm always saying the same thing about it. You know,
it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it has rallies. Maybe we should should we ban it from the show?
Yeah, maybe. Well, we're going to bring it back on when it goes through 60, because I'm going to make money short in this thing if it takes out 60.
Yeah, but you know what? Then there's going to be $59.90 for 10,000 and then $59.85.
The value investors are in this one. This has been a value trap forever. I don't know what turns Gilead around. I've said I've wanted to buy Gilead at this level because it's been huge support for so long. And I kind of still do, but I kind of would just rather short it through 60 if it takes out the 60. Maybe it's going to be one of those that goes like 59.5, undercut and rally, the old Jeremy Newsom. So you got to watch that too whenever you're shorting stocks through support. You don't want them coming back up through the support. You want them to like go down and keep going down. You want them to have like immediate gratification on a trade like that. But it's not there yet. But I just, you know, there's so many headlines. You think about this environment. They had the drug early where it was going to be remdesivir. And obviously Regeneron's come in and everybody else has come in. And it doesn't seem like now the WHO says that remdesivir doesn't do anything. So
let's move on. I don't
trouble.
Want to
talk
about it anymore. All right. So over to Pfizer then.
Yeah. There we go.
Because the Pfizer headline is at least a little better. Bump my volume up here a little bit. The Pfizer headline's at least a little better. There is some commentary from their CEO, and also there are some data that showed that their vaccine candidate is effective or was effective in cases. Let me read this headline better. Data showing COVID-19 vaccine is effective. Later in October, see safety data by the third week of November. Could apply for emergency use in late November.
It's popping. We've seen, again, the story again and again and again and again, Groundhog Day, when these things pop up on the decent headlines from a COVID drug or COVID anti or whatever, it's usually a selling opportunity. I own Pfizer in the long-term portfolio. I still think, you know, Pfizer is a good company. It's a nice 4% dividend safe. This is a solid company, but I'm not buying it up 2% on any type of headline because it just pays to sell those, not buy those.
So here's the question. Is the guy, gals, hedge funds, whoever, grandmothers, grandfathers, whoever was selling here just over 37, you had 1, 2, 3, 4 highs in a row at 37, 20, 30 area, right? 30 was the high on Wednesday. Are they going to choose just to lift their offers and just slam this thing at like 35.50, 35, you know, 37.50, 37.60, whatever that area is? Because you do have a triple top on the 15 minute at 37.65. That's 35 cents away. Paper's probably loaded up at a half on this.
Paper's loaded in the pre-market. 37.35. Somebody on ARK is selling 74,000 shares right now, active order. Like that's in the pre-market. That's a big order. 74,000 shares. So somebody says, I'm stopping
come
this, or somebody wants out, come and get me. Maybe they just lift them, one big mighty blow, but that's a hard order to get through. You know, it's like the goalie in hockey, and you know, you got the big Patrick Waugh with the big pads right there, 74,000 shares on the offer. Takes a big shot to get it through there. Takes some big money
to
get it through there.
Don't bring up Patrick Waugh on this show.
He's the one that started the big pads. That's when goaltending was that we always thought goaltending was finesse. You had to be have smaller pads to be agile. And Patrick Waugh in 1986 changed the whole game. He's like, I just put on bigger equipment, I'll stop more pucks. It's like, holy cow, this guy's good. That's how it started. Now everybody wears big equipment. The bigger the goalie, the better. They draft these 6'6" guys that take up 3/4 of the net, and you're shooting, you know, when they're just positioning, you have nothing to shoot at.
Did you ever play goalie?
No, I'm for just for fun and pickup hockey, maybe. I'd be a terrible goalie.
Wait, you don't still play in that league, right, because of COVID?
I was playing Thursday night hockey, but everything is kind of on hold.
Do you remember who
I'll probably never go back again. That's why I'm really getting fat now. I don't do anything. All I do is eat.
And trade.
Remember when Osgood and Wild went at it? Do you ever see two goalies fight?
Oh, yeah, it's fun. They come to center ice. It's the best part of the hockey. They want to take out fighting out of the hockey games. This is the best part. I love it when the goalies get out of it. They both skate to center ice. It's like, now is a throwdown here, and the goalies throw down. It's good.
And then when Darren McCarty, who did he beat the day?
Darren McCarty beat up everybody. Leamington, boy. Go Leamington. That's where I was born.
He beat up Claude Lemieux.
Claude Lemieux. Oh, if you want to see a vicious hit, look at that. Claude Lemieux hit on Chris Draper.
McCarty's trying to take out the offer on Pfizer right now. He just threw a big hit on that 37.35 offer. They just took out 11,000 of it. Might take it out. We've digressed really badly here now. Oh, it's gone. Boom. He shoots, he scores. 41,000 shares. Bang. Gone. 37.35. Somebody just sold 75,000 shares there. Wow. the big shot. Take them out.
40 prints. They're probably out there at a half.
Now they're bidding 40. All the people who are leaning on that are like, the offer's gone. Get me out. Get me out. leaning. Okay. We're leaning on you, Spencer, for
Spencer, you really got a tough job today. Come on. Bring us
in. Cool ratings. Here, I'll take it for you. Chewy. Let's go Chewy.
That's where I was going to go. There's only one, I think, worth discussing, and that is this Chewy rating. The rest of them aren't really moving. But Chewy's upgraded today at Jeffries to buy, and it has a $100 price target raised from $59.
Wow. $100.
$100.
That's a bullish call right there.
Yep.
Props to Charles. He shouted that out early last night on Benzinga Pro. Get that pro. Anyway, his stock was about 65 and a half. Charles shouted out. Good job, Charles. 68.70 here this morning. Now 68.80. Obviously, everybody's waking up and reading this. Whoa, somebody put a $100 price target on Chewy. Everybody likes these online pet food. Stock, obviously, still, been trending up. Now it takes out the high of the move. Probably takes out 70 today. You got the big pesky highway up there at 74.84. I don't think it's going to get there today, but that's a big call. I would not be surprised if there's more gas in the tank here for Chewy.
We're right up against, 69 right here. What's this high that you had? The second highest high is 69.53. May blow through that, may not, but I'd use that as another potential target. And the day that it hit 69.53, it did it early in the session, then it caught a cold and settled at 61.94 and then had another bad day. So see what happens on this one at 69.53. We have a box upstairs that got delivered from Chewy yesterday, and holy moly.
So it's you that you're
I could barely get this thing in the door. This thing was so heavy.
Is it a lot cheaper buying this pet food online?
Dennis, who orders the stuff online in our family?
Oh, yeah, Lisa. So you don't know.
I have no idea.
Joel doesn't know at all.
My new best friends are the UPS driver and the FedEx driver. It's the only people I get to see every day in real life.
No, that's who we see. It's the Amazon.
I wait for them. Like, I wave and tell them great
FedEx
job.
FedEx brings the Amazon packages. They just show up at the door. I used to let them cook out there in the sun because of COVID, but now I'm not as scared, so I just open it right up, and it's all exciting. But
all right, there are some other ratings.
Come on, Spence.
The same analyst at Jefferies is also upgrading Costco to buy, giving it a $435 price target there. So I guess it's on that.
What do you think about that move in Costco? And finally, that's a big old move in Costco. Holy mackerel.
It's Costco. Oh. This stock is just a machine. It just slowly grinds its way higher forever. Go up the monthlies. Bring up the monthlies. This stock just slowly, slowly continues to climb forever. Every time this dips a little bit, it's a buying
right
opportunity.
Yep.
Every single time. It's Costco. This store is firing all cylinders. They're lined up to get in there. I mean, they can they just do everything right. And the stock is loved too. So it has everything going. Yes, the multiple is way higher than it is for Target or Walmart, but it's Costco. It's the best of breed. I don't see why. What's the price target?
She's raising it to, let me find it, $435.
Sure. I think it gets there too. I agree. I concur. I'd be a buyer of pullbacks. I'm not buying up $4, but any pullback on Costco seems to always be a buying offer.
Funny, Lisa was putting an order in for Costco this morning, too. That's funny. I wish
they deliver for you?
Yeah, they do. I mean, obviously, you don't want to get perishables, but she was yelling at me, what do we need? What do we need? And I'm like, I don't know. Go looking to see what we – what we don't need is rice, chewy bars, and gummy bears.
Do you need underwear? Because Duluth Holding
that good one
this morning. DLTH upgrade to outperform at Baird.
Dennis, what do you think about this one? This could be
remember
the next.
I bought those underwear. I saw the commercial all those years, and my wife went out because I always talked about the commercial. I liked the commercial because I laughed, and she actually bought me the underwear, and then I tried them on, and I actually didn't like the underwear. So all those years of watching those commercials, and I finally got them for my birthday one year. Wife ordered the Duluth underwear, and they actually weren't that comfortable. So
that's a
disappointed. And they sit in my drawer and I don't wear any of them because I don't like them.
Man, it's traded up 74 cents on 6,000 shares. That's a big move for that stock, right? Boy, I don't know. I wouldn't chase it. Maybe come back down to, this came down to 1430, 1440 over the next couple of days, I'd be interested in it, but I don't know. I can't.
You're seeing these short squeezes in all these retail
stocks.
Yeah,
that's true.
Not the physical store ones, but the people who are selling stuff online. I'm sure Duluth has a big online presence. It doesn't matter if you're selling pet food or underwear. They're buying those stocks right now. You got the word online. We're back to 1998. You got an online presence there. It's like, the internet is so cool. You just got to buy stuff on the internet. I mean, I can't believe we're 22 years later and that's what it's come down to. But if you're put something online,
it's a more
they're
than
buying
that.
You.
It's a little more. You have to convince people that most of your sales actually come from online.
So close your physical stores, go full online, right. And they're going to give you this awesome multiple, like 10 times sales will pay for you or 100 times earnings.
That's we're getting a lot of brief commentary here from different. Some people like it. Some people don't.
Some people like the Duluth underwear.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it was an upgrade. So,
have you been out to that store by 12 Oaks? I'm tempted to go by there. No, they got a huge.
I'm not allowed
store.
To go in the States because of COVID. So.
You could fly here though, right?
Oh yeah, you can fly. You can't drive across. You can fly. I have to say it's essential business. I mean, I could say, "Oh, Joel told me to go to this store over by 12 Oaks, and it's essential business." I don't know if the guard will let me in for that, but. One day they'll let us back into the States.
Well, maybe if you buy some shares of CP, Canadian Pacific, because they just this morning announced they're taking full ownership of the Detroit River Rail Tunnel for $300 million.
Really?
So if you buy some CP, say you're a shareholder, maybe they'll let you through. Probably not, but it's worth
it. These rail companies. Look at the CP chart. Holy mackerel. I guess everybody's buying on something on stuff online. I guess they got to ship it by rail first, right?
Oh, so is that the tunnel underneath the tunnel, what they bought, or the actual tunnel?
Oh, that's the actual tunnel.
Huh. Oh, boy. That's all-time high. I don't know what to tell you guys about CP there.
We don't short stocks make a new all-time high.
Nope, we don't.
I don't.
Okay, from the chat here, ISRG, they had earnings after the close yesterday, Intuitive Surgical. The earnings were good compared to the estimates. They beat the EPS, beat the sales. They reported that they shipped 195 Da Vinci surgical systems in the third quarter. That was actually down 29% on a year-over-year basis, and their revenue decreased 4% on a year-over-year basis. How is this? I haven't looked at the chart, though, so I don't know how it's doing.
So it's down $26. This is a stock that just works on pullbacks, too. So if you're looking to do the same thing you just did with Costco, this is a stock that just continues to go up, 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 up. And I think when you get a pullback, it's a buying opportunity. If this got back to 700 at 715 this morning,
yep,
it's probably another buying opportunity. I have a huge position in BOTS, B-O-T, Zebra, and ISRG is, I believe, their biggest holding. So I'm indirectly exposed to ISRG through my BOTS holding. I just like the artificial intelligence. I looked at what they owned. I was like, buy some of that. So I've been in that for a while. I bought it back at 18. It's 28. I'm like in the long-term investment portfolio on that one. So I don't know if I need to come into Intuitive Surgical because I do have that indirect position through BOTS. But I tell you, pullbacks on BOTS have always been rewarded if you're patient enough.
Yeah, that's a nice looking chart. I was thinking with this ISRG with the, with the slowdown in elective surgeries, with COVID, doesn't seem to have hurt them though, right? They're still selling the equipment. Trading down, I like that bunch of lows around 700 too. We'll see if we get there.
I mean, it definitely hurt them. Like shipments fell year over year. Sales fell. Mm-hmm. Definitely hurt them. So.
Okay, what's going on with Workhorse? Rose has asked about Workhorse and DPHC about 47 times. Is there any...
Yeah, there is.
We talked about the 48. Persistence wins.
What's going on?
They closed $200 million in financing from institutional lenders. That was announced this morning.
Yeah, wow. If you want to strike on this deal, this is the time to do it, right? I mean, it's down. Got whacked over 30. Man, this thing is volatile. Holy Toledo. I don't know. I mean, if you want to strike, right?
If you think you're getting the deal.
Strike.
If you think they're going to win the deal, and obviously we're talking about the USPS deal, I mean, it's a binary event. We've talked about this, but it's been chopping around. Rumors, they're going to get it. Oh, they're not going to get it. Oh, it's going to get announced. Oh, we don't know when it's going to get announced. So there's been a lot of unknowns here, but I'll say you know, it's better to be buying at 22 than 30 if you think they're getting the deal. So you've got the pullback now. So if you think getting the deal, now would be the time to strike. If they don't get that deal, the stock could be a $10 stock, though. So you just got to be aware of that, too.
So give me that 830 number, Spencer. We're getting a little
retail sales is what we just got here. Let me get the number. Retail sales month over month for September, 1.9% versus a 0.7% estimate. Core retail sales was at 1.5%. This is up 1.5% versus a 0.5% estimate. So the numbers were good compared to the estimates. The prior readings for retail sales last month was 0.6%. So retail sales were good in September.
They're popping. Haven't taken out the pre-market high. Pre-market high, 91.25. What do you got here? The pair of old lows there. I mentioned that. That was an old double. It was an intraday low and then a daily low. So that's just have it as a two-star. Not much above that. Tuesday's close was 0475. So that'd be your next target. But I really don't have any really good numbers. If you're looking for a three-star, you'd have to wait till 34.2475. That was Tuesday's interday high and Wednesday's Globex high.
I mean, it's building on yesterday's rally. You got the shorts scrambling a little bit. Don't shorten the hole. I mean, that's another rule here too. And you see it again and again and again. People get all excited and they're saying, okay, this is the turn. Let's get bearish here. And when the stocks are down, and when the stocks are down, it's just a buying opportunity. Just like now we've ripped higher. So if you're coming in here buying now on the S&P,
should have been buying yesterday.
343. I mean, you're up 50 handles from where you were this time yesterday. So you're doing it backwards. So I'd say you're selling up at 350 and you're waiting for another pullback to buy. Keep playing the chop. The chop keeps working.
Good question here. A little off topic. I'd say Triple D would be the main one to answer this. Of all the analyst ratings, which one has the most impact on the stock to move higher or lower?
That's easy.
And he's throwing JP Morgan, Pfizer, RBC.
Oh, it's a multiple choice question. I always go with C.
Okay, what's C? It depends what stock, what sector. Right?
It does depend what stock and what sector. I mean, certain analysts, we've talked about this before, certain analysts have more influence on stocks. You know, if you hear Tucson on GE, it matters because they're widely followed on that stock. But other things being equal, who are you going to say, Spencer?
Goldman Sachs.
Yeah, I think so too. I think other things being equal, I think Goldman, if you just say in stock for stock, I think Goldman, very influential. So I'd put them right near the top. But the big guns, like you get the Citis and JP Morgan's, the first tier, you know, they're all very influential. But then you get a bold call, like Jeffrey's coming out today on Chewy. So it depends on the call, right? Like Chewy, they come out with $100 price target. So everybody's like, whoa,
it's going to 100 today. You've got to buy it today.
100 bucks. So, I mean, it depends how bold the call is, too. If they're kind of like, you know, we kind of like this, you know, then it's not going to move as much. They come out there and they're like, yeah, buy it. It's going to 100 bucks. People are going to really move that. But they move too. Like they all move Stiefel, Jefferies. They all move. D.A. Davidson will move stocks. And then you got like smaller little, you know, like Rosenblatt, which is more a little boutique, you know, obviously.
Susquehanna.
Yeah, yeah. You have some smaller companies there. You don't hear much from Susquehanna anymore. I think they got bought, didn't they?
No, they're still around.
Still around. But yeah, so it depends on all things being equal, the big guns, Goldman, Morgan, Stanley, JP Morgan, and then if an analyst makes a big call, like Laura Martin has been bullish, pounding the table on Roku, and she's at Needham, which is a smaller firm, but she's been bullish Roku for years, and so her commentary can move a stock, and it moved Roku last week, or I don't, maybe that was this week, I don't remember anymore.
What was the Fuzzy Panda stock? Did he remember? They had a shirt report on it.
Yeah,
that remember?
The new Fuzzy Panda. What was that? It was like last week. Who's the Fuzzy Panda?
We couldn't get to the site.
Yeah, that was Workhorse.
Oh,
that
was
Workhorse. Yeah. So it hasn't come back yet. They were the ones that knocked that down. Fuzzy Panda.
Okay. All right.
I have a unfortunate update. I don't think Jason Raznick will be able to join us today. He has to drop his daughter off at school, he said.
That's a bad excuse.
Let's call him.
That's what he said.
Let's call him.
No.
Don't call yes.
Him. Hand her the keys. She can drive herself today.
She's like 4 years old.
Okay, strike that from the record. I thought she was five.
I don't know how old she is.
My five-year-old can drive a car.
Good point. It's a Tesla. It should be able to drive itself.
I got the five-year-old out there. He's got his little, like, he's got those power wheels, and he goes nuts on that power wheels, and I let him drive all over the place up north. He's up on the trail, like, on my property. But
great point, Mitch. The Tesla should just be able to drive
itself. Yeah, just put it in the car. Right.
Mitch is the call.
Yeah, take it to school. Yeah, fine.
I can't talk in the car. Tell him to call.
I don't want to stress him out too much. He's got his kid.
No, he doesn't get.
I don't want to.
Call from the car. He is the boss, so we have to be careful. You know.
Yeah. No. So okay. If he's able to come on today, I will of course bring him on. But
and we don't have hot potato because you won't do hot potato anymore.
Why don't we do hot potato anymore? Everybody liked hot.
It's
potato.
It's not that I won't do it. We can bring.
We can't
back,
play the song. We got in trouble for the song, right?
We got in trouble. We did get in trouble with the song. It's true.
Because we weren't paying royalties. Who reached out when you were playing the Hot Potato song? Oh, who wanted royalties for Hot Potato?
Nobody reaches out. It's
the fuzzies or whatever.
YouTube like screens you and.
And YouTube says if you play that one more time, you're in big trouble.
If the
Wiggles, I said the fuzzies.
The Wiggles, it's the Wiggles.
Yeah. Let's
sorry,
do it,
Mr. Wiggles.
No, I'm not playing the song because we're going to get actually – like YouTube can punish us, and I don't want YouTube to punish us.
You don't want YouTube punishment.
So I'm not going to play the song, but we can do trivia, but I don't have anything prepared. So what exactly do you want me to do?
We got to just do it on the fly. Chat should do a trivia. The chat should give us questions, and we'll answer them. So, like, you know, just random trivia questions.
Don't
so, chat, if you want to throw us random trivia questions right now, we'll do it.
Don't we do that every day anyway?
Yeah, they kind of do. But they throw stock. Wait,
so we can bring Hot Potato back without the song. And it's obviously.
But then what fun is it?
It wouldn't be on Fridays.
The song was what I danced to. The Hot Potato. I can't even sing it? Because I don't think so. The Wiggles will come after us.
Yeah, you can sing it. Of course you can sing it if you want to. But
I don't.
People want to know about.
Sing, Joel.
People want to know about Peloton. And
it goes up every day. What do you want to know?
I know.
It's never gonna stop going up.
Why?
Every time I try to think it's the top, it just goes higher. This is like Zoom. I talked bad about Zoom and said it's gonna be significantly lower when it's $500. It goes up for 3 days in a row.
I talked to my buddy Gary.
You can't get bearish these things.
And I was that 80 to 100 range. Yeah, when it was trading, it got hit off. I was like, it had me shaking. I was like, and I called him up, and he's like, well, why sell it? Well, you know, what are you going to do? Where are you going to put the money? I said, okay. And then there it is. That was actually a Lisa pick, I think, in the
40s. You're still long Peloton.
Yeah. And
valuation matters zero to Joel.
I'll tell you, I got a good workout yesterday. Really,
better one than normal? Why?
I did.
You have a new instructor on the iPad?
No, I pretty much stick with like three instructors. Ben,
how many choices of instructors?
Oh, there's so many, Dennis. There's, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30. You know what? Lisa could put you, and here's the other thing. Like you could share it with people and we could get yoga and stretching exercises on there for you. No, it was arms. I get the dumbbells and it's arms and in biking intervals. So like in a half hour, I was dripping. I was seriously sweating pretty hard. Lisa could go on it for like 45 minutes. I can't.
Is Tony Horton on there? If you get Tony Horton, I'll buy a Peloton.
Who is Tony Horton?
From P90X. He's awesome. Everybody knows Tony. Tony Horton. When they get Tony Horton on Peloton, then I'm going to get interested. I always try to do the P90X. I get to like day like 10 and then I'd throw out my back and then I'd be done. But anyways,
I don't know what to say about it.
Remember P90X? Do you ever try P90X, Spencer?
I remember the fad, of course. How could
I? Beachbody. Tony Horton. Tony Horton's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to focus. I don't want to tell you about this Peloton, folks. I mean, maybe there's a seller at 138 today.
It's going to keep going up. It keeps going up, up, up. Eventually, it crashes. Eventually, it will. But trying to call the top on this has been really difficult. I've tried it a couple of times. I'm glad I'm not shorting it. I'd be murdered. So I had the stock. I was long it at 25, and I thought it was overdone at 40. And I sold it. I was like, that was a good trade. I made a lot of money on that Peloton. That's 140. I should have been pulling it. When did you buy it? You probably bought it. I think you bought it after me. No, you had it before.
I think you had it before COVID.
You had it before COVID.
Yeah, because we got the bike in December.
Well, that was crazy.
And you guys, yeah,
this is COVID stock.
You guys all making fun of me. I can remember.
Oh, yeah.
Skinner, everyone made fun of me. And,
iPad on a bike.
It is.
GoPro Part 2. I said all that in January. And then it all changed. I was like, it's COVID thing. I was like, I'm buying Peloton because nobody's going to the gym. I bought Peloton. Jason Raznick bought Peloton. We all got in Peloton. Chris, obviously over at Dumb Money, got in Peloton. We all got in Peloton because I was like, but when it got to 40, I was like, I thought it was overdone.
Are you correct? Is he called me Noble Joel? So I gotta look at that ASTI for him. ASTI. You ever traded that one, Dennis?
It's not even a stock, is it? ASTI.
I hope it is.
Next time you
approach stock. You're fired. No way I'm bringing that stock up. Are you correct? You're in the doghouse. This is under a penny. Oh.
We definitely don't trade stocks under a penny. I don't trade stocks under a dollar. I'm not trading a stock under a penny.
Are you correct? It's in the doghouse. No. He finally got me. Look at that.
He gotcha. Check the symbol before you bring it up on the show. You're wasting everybody's airtime for 30 seconds.
I'm going to puke on my desk looking at that stock.
I want to bring Mitch on. Mitch has a chart he wants us to look at.
Thank you, Mitch.
We got Mitch for the next 15 minutes. Bring in Mitch. Workhorse Mitch.
What's going on, guys?
Workhorse Mitch.
So one of the stocks that I want to look at, and I want to get Joel's opinion on this chart, is
Video, Mitch.
FUBU.
Nah, gotta see you.
I don't have it set up.
Oh, no. Come on, man.
I was thinking Raz was coming on. Raz was taking my fire.
Oh, we want to see Mitch.
Oh, but I got some fire for you. Look at that FUBU chart.
What stock?
This is FUBO. This is FUBU TV, a TV streaming service.
You find these story stocks, I tell you, man. He finds these stories.
FUBO's been around, but they just uplisted to the New York Stock Exchange last week. But they've been around. They're on the OTC market.
Okay, I'll be honest. I've never heard of FUBO TV. What the hell is FUBO TV?
I have. Mitch, explain it.
So it's a streaming TV service, and what they have an advantage in is a lot of sports. They have a lot of soccer that you have access, and they also have the Red Zone, NFL Red Zone. So people got that just for the. They're on FUBU just for Red Zone. And what I think personally is I see this company being bought out in the next year or two or something like that, because the way I think is that I think let's say phone carriers or bigger kind of carriers that provide content are going to be looking for these smaller companies to go ahead and get into TV streaming. I could see a company maybe like T-Mobile being like, we'll offer everybody that we have already a TV streaming service. And that would lift the advantage over even more to a company like T-Mobile. So what do you think about the chart, Joel?
Before I even go to the chart, sure. I want to just give some commentary here, because I have been saying that the only reason I keep my cable service is because I want to watch sports. And this all of a sudden is telling me I can stream sports, means I can go cut the cord and get a FUBO TV for $15.99 a month. If I can watch all my sports on this, I would do it. So I love the idea. Are you long this, Mitch?
No, I have not taken a position yet, but I like those resistance at 11. There was an inside buy of, I think, 300,000 shares. Can you check on that, Spencer? It was by the director.
You often on the 14th. See these when these things just first list, though. So the insider buys, I'll just say, Mitch, it's a good lesson, too. When they come in and they're only been out for 6 days, you're seeing these insider buys from the initial offering.
Yeah.
So you're probably not seeing somebody in the open market. I see the 200,000 buy, and that would be probably from when it went public here.
Well, it wasn't an offering. It was already public. It was off exchange. It was on the OTC market.
Okay, so they brought it in.
So they brought it onto the New York Stock Exchange. That's the event from last week, but they've been public now for a while.
Okay, but it's only 6 days of trading here. So that event would have been $10, and if you read the note, I'm just bringing up the filing here right now. Yeah, so it's the public offering of when it came to $10. So that was from the final prospectus when it came on October the 9th. So that was indeed not an open market purchase. That's from prior to the listing on the public New York Stock Exchange. So that's not that influential. When you see company directors coming in the open market and buying, those are the ones that move it. So I don't think you're going to see, you know, movement just because it had the insider buy. But with that being said, I like the story here. I've just known about it for the last 3 minutes. I think it's an awesome story. The candle yesterday is pretty good. It's up here again this morning. So yeah, if this starts to get, it's only a 700 and, you know, you say it's only, it's under $1 billion, $708 million market cap. So you're talking a very small company. It's got the potential to get a story and get hot. Mitch is our story stock guy, and he finds the potential stories before their stories. Gave us Workhorse at $3. He's bringing us Fubo here at 11. Well, 11:50, I guess, this morning.
11:50. Yeah. I mean, this is, it's a whole number handover here. $12 was a resistance, and then 13. So it seems like to move in buck increments. Had a big day yesterday, pretty good volume. The real big volume day was back on October 8th when it got crushed from 12:20 to 10:30. I don't know. It's kind of tough. I don't know what the hell happened in January of 2018 when it went over 120. Maybe that was some kind of mistake or whatever. But
when they're OTC like that, they do some funny things.
If it came back down to 11, it doesn't look like it's going to do it today right now, but old resistance at 11, new support perhaps, looking at it on the charts.
Yep. Definitely one that I'll be looking at long term.
I'm gonna write it on my
chart.
I mean, the only thing about sports, though, the only thing is, you know, with sports, you know, sports are sports right now, and a lot of them are being canceled, they're delayed, or whatever.
Well, that's why DraftKings is down. I mean,
yeah, let's talk DraftKings for a second.
And Penn Gaming too. I sold my Penn Gaming. I just sold it yesterday. Yeah, I sold it yesterday.
It's not going to 100.
Main reason is DraftKings continues to go in the gutter, and I'm just scared that Penn might eventually follow suit. But Penn's holding up okay. Actually, I was thinking that Penn would fall yesterday, and I sold it. And it's obviously it's rallied here again this morning. So I kind of wish I wouldn't have sold it now because it's higher than I just sold it for. But I don't know. I just sold it because I felt like the Portnoy buzz isn't as, you know, you're not hearing it as much. So I didn't want to get stuck in something. I mean, Penn's had an incredible move. And we did well with this. You know, I bought this at 50, sold at 69 or whatever it was, 68 and a half or whatever it was yesterday. So it was a good move. I felt it was time to maybe book the profits, but maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was starting to look resistance here at 70.
I was thinking about, well, that too. And those, I mean, they're correlated. I think that the support under, the, you know, you got major support at this thing just under 65. I looked at those lows before. So 64, so that's $6 away from it. So I think you got to hold in. You know, if you want to sell it on weakness instead of strength, there's real good support there. As long as it holds that, let's see what it can do.
The main reason is maybe I'm reading too much in, but I think the COVID spread is going to continue here. And
it is continuing.
I think it's going to pick up steam. I don't, obviously, again, you know, we know it doesn't appear to be as deadly as we first thought, which is good news for the whole world. But if it continues to spread and they do eventually have to start, you know, canceling some sporting events, it's not going to be good for either of those stocks. I still like the Penn story. I just think I'm going to get a chance to get it back.
And Dennis, I talked about this yesterday with Joel. DraftKings actually had good fundamental news.
Good news yesterday.
New Jersey came out and said that last month was a record month for the state in terms of sports betting revenue. Like that's good for the entire industry. I noticed LCA is up 5%. Well, now just 2.5% this morning, was up more. I would have thought that the entire sector, LCA, DraftKings, Penn, would have gone up on that. And for the most part, they did. But DraftKings is so out of favor that it doesn't.
We said it yesterday on the show. I said I would sell it. I think it's just, I said I think it's got a date with 35. The stock was trading 47 or something, change in the pre-market. It was up again. I was like, I think it's another selling opportunity. So I got that one right because it opened up and they just puked it. And they closed it near the lows. The stock can't be up here again today. It is absolutely hated right now. It's turned. It's broke trend and it's turned and the valuation is ridiculous. So the Momo guys are out and the value guys say no, thank you. That's why I think it's got a date with 35. I'd probably be a buyer at 35, though. So I'm hoping it pulls down another $10 so I can buy it.
Okay. Trading at the highs of the pre-market session, up 14 and a half handles here, 34.90, 91 and a quarter. Still your pre-market high, just hanging out here near the highs of the session.
Can I tell you what the Menzinger Pro News Desk guys are all talking about this morning? They're all talking about Coke.
Coke.
You're talking about Coke.
Coke.
Because Coke has said they're going to discontinue Tab. I didn't even know Tab was still around. But it is, but not for long. You guys remember
Coke Tab?
I remember Tab. Yeah, yeah, I remember Tab. They're discontinuing that. I don't think the stock cares at all.
No. Stock doesn't care at all, but people care.
Coca-Cola, I don't know. I mean,
it's your dividend play. You're in 3.5%, it sits here. It doesn't do a hell of a lot. I mean, you look at this chart for the last, I feel like it's always in the 40s. It's $50 now. But you look back last 2-3 years, I mean, it got ridiculous when it got up to $59. And then it got ridiculous when it got down to 36. And now you're stuck in the middle. So, I don't know. It's 3% dividend.
Is
stock's going to move a lot.
Warren still in it?
Well, probably. Warren's been in it since birth. Wasn't it one of his first stocks he ever bought?
Is he still drinking 6 a day?
I think he upped it to 7.
And I think it's Diet Coke.
He moved on to Diet Coke a number of years ago.
Yeah.
So that shows you the aspartame doesn't make you forget things because he's pretty good.
Do you have a favorite soda, Dennis?
No. I don't drink much pop. I eat enough food that I can't drink pop. I'd be really heavy if I drank soda. So I drink like a pop just for fun every once in a while. That's it. When drink more than like 2 or 3 Cokes.
Whenever I do, I always buy something different.
Cherry Coke is awesome. Almond, I agree. Cherry Coke would be my pop.
Dr. Brown's Diet Black Cherry is pretty good, but that's no. I always get a different one. I do. What about you, Spencer?
I don't drink a lot of soda, but if I do, I drink Dr. Pepper.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Pepper. All right, so here we are.
Back to stocks.
3 minutes ago, ticker time. Give us some tickers.
Yeah, no, we've got all over the place today.
Tickers. Neo. Let's do Neo. I see Neo.
Yeah, Neo and Space. Let's do them back to back.
All right, so Neo, I'm still long. Space, I sold about 2 days ago out of Space. Reason I sold Space was had a pretty good move.
Oh my gosh,
Dennis!
I can't hold on to my long term.
I can't handle you.
I'm buying Space today.
Yeah,
I know. I sell too early always.
No, this is your long term investment. This is my story stock.
I can't handle
it. It was a story stock, and then the story broke. I watched the stock go from 16 to 27. I was like, yeah, this is going to 50, and then it collapsed. And I actually was down money because I bought this thing around like 18 or 17 or 18 or something. So then it was down. I was down at 15. I was like, I just gave back the entire 70% gain. Well, you know, I had the nice upgrade from Bank of America and then the pop-up, and it gave me back half of my gains. I was like, thank you very much. I believe I sold at $22 about 3 days ago. And it's still hanging out here around $22. Holding on okay.
Important
level. If it can get back up above the highs of the move, maybe you got room to the highs then. It can be a story. Like, this can still get hot, but I was looking and they got a pretty good valuation on this thing. And I'm like, I don't know. And you know, another reason is our friend Mitch here has said that Space is not the stock. He likes Maxar. And I'm kind of thinking about that Maxar too.
I said buy the ETF, buy all.
Maybe I should just buy the ETF. Maybe I should just buy it. What's the ETF?
UFO. I just said buy that.
Maybe I should just buy
it. Did we have that guy on a long time ago?
Yeah, he's been on a few times.
What's his name? Buy UFO.
What's his name?
Andrew Channon. Good guy.
Oh, Andrew Channon. Who's the other guy that has the robotics one now?
That is Will Studebaker. Ticker for that is Robo.
How's that doing?
I don't know. That's the
audio. Oh, that's doing good. He, last time I talked to him, he was pounding the table on that thing. He's out in California, though. He's harder to get on. How's iRobot doing?
I don't know. Wait, I sold that one too soon.
I don't follow me on this. Follow me on the buys. Don't follow me on the sell. I sell everything too soon. I'm the first one in. FIFO. Alex on Twitter always says, I'm FIFO. I'm first in. I get in the story early, and I'm first out. Just like Peloton, I was one of the first people in that story.
But I didn't
hold long enough. Joel was absolute first, but he bought it before. He should have bought it, in my opinion. He bought it. It was a COVID stock. That's when you needed to buy it. So, anyways, I just think I'm always out too early. I need to learn. In 21 years of professional trading, I've always been very good at entering positions, and I've always been out too early. I guess I can't change. You know, it's worked for me. I've made my whole life trading. All of my net worth is from trading. And you know, I've done okay, but at the same time, I could have made a lot more money if I learned to hold better.
Exactly.
So when I sell, you probably shouldn't be selling.
Wait, real fast. Can we just go back to Neo for a second? Because we kind of started there.
I'm still in this one, and I want to sell it. Because it's went up so
it's
much.
It's up another buck today?
Joel, I'm up. I bought this thing like a month ago, and I'm up 18.
JP Morgan really
over 50%.
I don't even know what to say.
It's a big move. But the story could get hot here. It just keeps going. What are you thinking, Neil?
I have no
idea. All-time highs.
Yeah, 29.15. I mean,
it's going to test 30. I mean, it's come this far. Why not test 30 now? Let's see what it does at 30.
It's slinging some 30? Shares, too. 6 million.
Oh, they're all over it. They got this thing like this is the Tesla, you know, like of China. They got the stories hot right now. What was the JP Morgan target?
30. What,
were they the one? They the ones that upgraded?
Or 40. It? 40.
The target 40. Was 40. Yeah.
Yeah.
Needed a catalyst. And man, it got it.
Look at your Hertz donut here. Over $2. That's going, Dennis.
222.
You got to get in there, Dennis.
get in there. It's not even in. I'll tell you something. The only reason I'm going to see Hertz is when you guys chat about it. It's not. I've taken it out of my stock universe. I don't even have it in there anymore. It doesn't make – I have 1,000 symbols that I'm really, like, looking at, you know, trading, and I take and I add. But these are the ones that are basically in my stock universe. I have all 6,000 in other scanners, but I have 1,000 that I really focus on. And Hertz was eliminated, I believe, from it. I think I took it out there a few weeks ago. So shows you, you know, obviously how
it's
much I like
Hertz. It's still going.
It's getting on media attention. They're like, oh, they got some financing. It was like, yeah. Oh, but you know, I don't know if there's anything left for equity holders. But they haven't got to the fine print yet. So we'll let them do whatever they want to do. I don't know how to trade a bankrupt stock. I thought PCG was going to go down, and never did.
All right, HYL went N. Isn't that the one you were in, Spencer?
Yes.
Kramer talked it last night.
Yeah, he did. What do you think? It's kind of back to the point.
I mean,
yeah, you have an identifiable out here.
Yep.
At that 3-day low at 26.26, and I don't know. I mean, you're not gonna replicate the run that you had in August and September because all the people that bought it between 35 and 55 are scratching their head.
You know what? So this is interesting. So Hylion's gotten cracked, and that deal only closed a couple of weeks ago. Right, it closed in early October, and I'm wondering now that all these SPAC deals are actually closed, all these deals that were announced over the summer are actually closing now. Like Nikola closed in June, Hylion closed a few weeks ago. I like when these deals actually close and the tickers change and the mergers go through, those could be selling opportunities because at that point the story's already been out there, but more people are hearing about it perhaps for the first time. I don't know. That could be a
trick. You sold your this was SHLL.
Yeah, I sold it like a month ago.
Yeah, you got out of it when I spooked everybody on these SPACs because they were looking ugly there for about a week.
You still got your LCA?
Yeah, I still got LCA. This has been, I've been everywhere with this thing. I'm back to even. I had this thing. I bought it right around here at 13.5. I went to 18. I felt like a hero. Now it's back at 13.50, and I feel like a zero. So I don't know.
I predicted you sold that one day when it was.
I wish I would have sold it.
Yeah. All right, Spencer, a little overtime here. Should we call Raz in the car or should we let him just take his daughter?
I don't want to call Raz in the car.
He's got a driverless car. He doesn't even have to do anything. All right. We won't call.
Well, I'll talk to him later in the day. Figure out what the situation is there.
Tell him he gets a demerit and now he has to come on the 340 show.
The chat is
angry. There you go. He's got to come on the 340 show.
The chat is angry. I'll pass the message along.
We always get a Raz pick. We did get that one from Spencer or from Mitch here today, though. I'm going to check in and do some homework on Fubo.
And I know that a few people have asked about Asana. That's another one of Jason's picks. So I'll make sure to ask him about Asana next time we do have him on. I did not forget.
I got a downgrade, but it's holding in there now. It's a good candle for Asana yesterday.
Double bottom.
A hope candle. I'll say that's the hope candle. I just named a new candle for you guys. That's the hope candle. Bounced off, made a little double bottom, nice little green, up a little bit today. There's hope for Asana.
Do you use it, Spencer? They got you using Asana?
I've been using it, you know, for years. Do I use it correctly? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't use it correctly.
But I use it.
I finally had it disabled. They're like, oh, you should have done this yesterday. Oh, you should have done this yesterday. Or you need to do this in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, done. Yeah. Google calendars is about as organized as I can
get. All right, let's end the week on a high note. Hit that like button. Get that like number above 300. That would be a great way.
I'm going to try. I was 174.
I don't even see that come through yet. Oh, there we go. Okay. there's a delay on the like. All right. We appreciate that. We obviously appreciate all the participation always in all of our chats. There's the YouTube chat. There's the Benzinga.com chat. And there's the Benzinga Pro chat. Thanks to all of you. Without you, we would just be talking to ourselves, pretty much. And it wouldn't be as fun.
True.
So thanks for the
I knew this was going to be a rough show.
I talk to myself all day. It's kind of fun.
I was just like, I'm looking, I'm going to these different sites, I'm looking, and I'm like, man, we're going to be scrounging today. Some days there's a lot to talk about, and some days there's not. But
your earnings flow gets heavy next week.
Okay, so we'll rest up.
Next week. What's next week? Netflix is next week. Tesla is next week. Snap is next week. So we got some big earnings names next week, so we'll have a lot of that to discuss for the next few weeks, because the calendar gets heavy. That'll be a wrap for us, though. Again, thanks for the participation. You can catch a replay of this on YouTube or on every major podcast platform. In the description of our video is links to Benzinga Pro, future events, and our also swag store, so check that out there. Please remember, all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Everyone have a great rest of your Friday. We'll be back at 3:40 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, have a good rest of your day.